And now we bring to these microphones David James for the last time this year. We're going to be talking to David about items that we've discussed over 2014, somewhat of a year in review on the topics that we have brought to your attention right here behind these microphones, looking at issues that Christians really need to have an understanding of. And we try to bring information from all of these issues being discussed to the table, and then alongside that we put the Word of God so that we can determine what our opinion or our decision or our acceptance of these issues might be. David, we've had a lot of discussions over this last year, many to select from. I think we've got about six. Let me see if we can get started right away. By the way, we catch David on the road, so if you hear any noises, we got to get them when we can, where they are, and that's what we're doing with David James today. One of the major items that we've discussed over this year was Hollywood's Year of the Bible. They had Noah right now, and I don't think you or I have had the opportunity to see the Exodus, but I do know that there are several countries in the Middle East, nations that are forbidding the showing of the Exodus, and they themselves, now these are secular, many time Islamic nations, saying that what is portrayed in this film, the Exodus, for example, is totally non-biblical. Quite interesting statements coming out of the Middle East. But one of the films that we did review, and you went to see it, was Heaven is Real, and then we talked about other near-death experiences also at the same time. Just refresh our thinking about Heaven is for Real, and tell us what was wrong with it.
Well, good to be with you, Jimmy. Yes, there are a lot of movies, a lot of television shows coming out of Hollywood this year about the Bible in one way or another. The Heaven is for Real and the near-death experiences was one. Heaven is for Real, the movie, came out in April based upon a book of the same title. And this is about a little boy who was 3 years old that came near dying because of a ruptured appendix. The idea is that after he turned 4, a few months later, he began sharing some things with his parents that he said he claimed to see when he actually went to heaven. He was on the operating table, and then he was back in his room, and there was a time where nobody was around. There was a period of time when he said that he went to heaven, that he saw Jesus, sat on Jesus' lap, talked with him, and there were a number of really strange things that happened that are just unbiblical in his claimed experience of going to heaven. For example, he said Jesus has a rainbow-colored horse. He said that everybody, not just angels, but people who have died and gone to heaven, they also have wings. He said that they pulled up a chair and he sat beside the Holy Spirit, which was kind of blue. And so these are just the kinds of things that came out of this, and yet millions and millions of people believe it's true. The book sold 7 million copies, and the movie was very popular.
Well, and in addition to this particular movie, Heaven is Real, or Heaven is for Real, there are many types of people talking about near-death experiences that have become very prevalent in our world today as well.
That's right. In the course of studying for just researching this back in April when you and I discussed this, when the movie came out, I read either books or articles on about 25 or more near-death experiences, and this was across a spectrum, not just Christians, but people from all different kinds of faith or no faith. And the interesting thing is that everybody is said to have experienced the same four basic things. One is rising up out of your body and looking back and seeing yourself. The other is going through a dark tunnel. The third is seeing a bright light or being in the presence of a bright being of some kind. And the other is a sense of overwhelming, unconditional love. Now, we would expect that last one, for example, for a believer, if they actually did go to heaven. But the problem is that regardless of what faith they're in, whether they be Muslim, Hindu, atheist, agnostic, everybody had those same four experiences. The other thing is that not a single two of those 25-plus near-death experiences, did they describe heaven as being the same? They described the walls of heaven differently, the gates of heaven, what they saw, what they heard. Everything was different. So that tells me that if they, you know, if they claim to be going to the same place, but it looks completely different, then they are not really going to heaven.
You know, it's very important. And I think what you just said brings this to our attention very vividly, is that we don't rely on experience, we rely on God's word, even in a near-death type of a situation. What does God's word say? And it's very difficult for us to really take and denounce some of these near-death experiences, because when you're arguing about an experience or trying to explain it, very difficult to do. But God's word is absolute. We want to keep to that. And in fact, speaking of God's word being absolute, we talked about the Blood Moons, and that was a very important book, supposedly, to many people who claimed to be Christian. They had to read it. They wanted to see what was going on. They were looking for some type of event to happen, which really did not happen as predicted by the authors of these books.
Well, yes, that's really true. Actually, we're in the middle of this, what is called a blood moon tetrad, which means four consecutive full lunar eclipses, total eclipses of the moon, without any intervening eclipses. Now, we've already had two of them, one in the spring and one in the fall, and there are another two next year. And the interesting thing is that they do fall on Jewish feast days, although that has happened a number of times in history when there's been nothing significant happen. Pastor Mark Biltz discovered this connection by looking at the NASA website back in 2008 and saw that there was a convergence of these four lunar eclipses on Jewish feast days, and he started extrapolating from that and saying these blood moons could be the fulfillment of prophecies, for example, in Joel and Matthew and the book of Revelation concerning near the time of the coming of the Lord and the great and terrible day of the Lord, that the sun will be darkened and the moon will be turned to blood. And John Hagee also wrote on this. He got his idea from Mark Biltz. But this has all kinds of problems with it, as we've talked about, and also is available in an article I wrote on the website.
Our website, prophecytoday.com, has that article on it. But also, give us your website so people can go to right to the horse's mouth and find out what you had to say.
Right. Our website is biblicalintegrity.org, one word, biblicalintegrity.org, and our ministry is the Alliance for Biblical Integrity.
And you can go there. You can really rely on that particular website for giving you information about all the issues we discuss, because everything we discuss here on Prophecy Today, David posts on his website as well. Talk to me about the end times convergence, which is seeking to end the Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church, the Charismatic Movement, evangelicals, all coming back together to reverse the Reformation of the 1500s.
Yes, that's exactly right. You and I have been following this for about the last 10 years or so, and I've been saying that this is moving in that direction. One of the things that I had talked about was that there was a convergence, particularly between the Catholic Church and the Charismatic Movement, and in the late winter and spring of this year, we saw that dramatically played out. One was when Pope Francis sent a video message to Kenneth Copeland, who is one of the most extreme word faith teachers in the world today, and then Kenneth Copeland returned a video to him, and they were both calling for unity and setting things aside that had separated them since the Reformation. And then a little bit later in the spring, Ulf Ekman, who is the founder of Word of Life Sweden, which is not the Word of Life that I was associated with, a totally different one and a very extreme charismatic group. He had been a pastor and leader and director of that church and that ministry, which is all over Europe now. He began it 30 years ago, and in the spring, he announced to his congregation on a Sunday morning without any warning to most of them that he and his wife were converting to Catholicism. So that is dramatic. also just evangelicals keep becoming more open and ambivalent toward doctrinal differences. Even recently, Rick Warren and some other leaders were called to the Vatican by Pope Francis to discuss family matters. So Rick Warren did a good job of laying the biblical foundation for the family, but it also shows that there's an openness. And one of his favorite programs is a Catholic television program.
Wow. Well, these are issues that we're discussing looking back through 2014. Next week, we're going to look at 2015 in advance of what may happen. And prophetically, we know that God's word is going to be fulfilled. Will it be 2015? We cannot say absolutely yes, but it certainly does look like many of these things that are prophesied in the word of God will come to pass. And some of the issues, David, we're talking about on the program today, I want to look at next week, so I'll try to put a list together and we can get you to project into the future. A couple other items before we let you go. Growing anti-Israel sentiment within the church, the body of Christ. That's really concerning to me. Also to you?
Yes, very much so. And it's happening in a couple of different ways. One is the departure from dispensational theology, which includes understanding that there is a significant and complete difference between the church and national Israel, and that God will, and we understand the scriptures to say that God made specific promises to the nation of Israel concerning land and descendants and blessing, and that is an unconditional promise. But there's a movement to say that the church has replaced Israel, replacement theology, and along with that, sweeping through evangelical churches, along with that is a growing pro-Palestinian movement, which it's fine to be for the salvation of anyone, and we're not against that at all, but this means the Palestinians would be taking over a significant portion of Israel, and also they want Jerusalem for their capital as well. And now even, for example, Presbyterian Church USA actually signed on to be a part of the Boycott Israel movement, and they divested of any companies that were working with Israel, for example, the Israeli Defense Forces, providing help to them.
Well, these are concerns that we have. That's the reason we discussed these issues over the year 2014. I want to bring in, and we'll talk about it next week, David, the aggressive agenda and the gains made by the gay community in 2014, but look to 2015. Let's see what you might have to say about that. Appreciate you throughout this entire year doing this job of research and getting these issues so that we could discuss them on the air, and looking forward to another year of very informative programming for the body of Christ. Thank you, David. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next year. Happy New Year, by the way.
Thank you. You too. Looking forward to it.